Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is the wonderful crew, the VFN Radio crew. Well, welcome John this morning.
Good morning.
Also want to welcome Pat this morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Producer Man.
Absolutely.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We are here to encourage you. We are here to let you know that God is still in control. And yes, if your eyes and your ears are not lying to you, men are. Relax. That's the Lord letting you know something ain't right. But God is directing our steps. As this darkness increases, know that God's coming is near. The largest harvest you've ever seen before in your life is near. And you were chosen for this season that is near. Praise God. We'll give a shout out this morning to Nagina. Been on my heart, girl. Loving you. Also want to give a shout out this morning to Kay Chara. Soon to be Dr. K-Char, whatever. Good morning, Kevin, down in South Florida. Good morning, Granger Maintenance, as a matter of fact. Giving a shout out to the crew down there, the Granger crew. The Granger crew keeping Tampa Street. Nicole, be encouraged. You're hearing the voice of God. That is so awesome. Good morning, Debbie. Let them know. Be light this morning in that law firm in New Jersey. Let them know God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Good morning, Sophia. Your light is shining all over the place. I'm seeing you on the do. Amazing, lady. Give a big shout out to Toys R Us this morning, you and Debbie. Say good morning to my wife this morning. Good morning, Donna. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the VFN Radio crew this morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Mr. Producer Man.
Yes.
And Chris.
Good morning.
And the one, the only 5-foot penalty line. No, brilliant, brilliant. More hair on his face than his head. John Ramos. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, here we are. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness. What an opportunity to come to be able just to chat and talk. And it's sort of like, you know, what we had a chance to do for years. Now we're just kind of mic'd up.
Yeah. Now everybody's here.
Everybody's like, I wonder what they was talking about. Well, you can actually go to the VFN Torch and find out. You can find out exactly what, you know, what we've been saying, what we are saying, and prophetically what hopefully we'll be saying by God's grace in the future.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking about this morning. John.
Yes.
You know, I just want to know, how are the beaches, the sandy beaches in New York right now? I mean, you know, are you building sandcastles yesterday, or was it like rock castles, or was it like...
No, not at all. In fact, the first time my sons visited a beach in New Jersey, he said, "What is this? What is this? They're not like...
It's a hypodermic needle, son."
The sand looks like dirt. I mean, this is like, oh no.
We grow stuff in that down south, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's not like this, the beautiful white sugar sand beaches of the Emerald Coast. I mean, it's
Yeah, it's a little oily now, but other than that,
yeah,
a little oily, other than
yeah,
that.
We had to bleach it like you did your hair. We had to bleach the sand out there. No,
we got to bleach from Pat. But I thought you'd find this interesting. Did you know
what's that?
That in New Jersey, this nice state of New Jersey, they are now banning smiles in driver's license photos.
What?
You can't smile when you get your driver's license.
You cannot write this.
I cannot write this. Serious.
You know how hard it is to find a smile nowadays? It is just hard. It's hard to find a smile as it is. Unless you take a mirror and put it and let the person look at themselves, they smile when they see themselves. I mean, you watch it. They'll look at you. Their face is so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. But you take a you flip a mirror real quick, like in front of them, buddy, they just light up like I don't know what. And I pulled it away, and all of a sudden they just like eat notes from a telephone. I was like, that is so unfair.
That's
you know,
right.
You give yourself a smile, but you're not giving anybody else a smile.
No, no.
You know what I'm saying? It's just time for the church to smile. We need to show both our teeth. You know what I'm saying? We need to show both our teeth. Listen, Bubba, we need to show both our teeth.
You know?
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, go ahead. Yeah. I mean, especially yours, since you did some of that whitening stuff on yours, man.
There's a valid explanation for this. There's a valid explanation for this.
Yeah, facial recognition, I'm sure.
You nailed it. Because
thank God sanguines will never be identified. It'll be just Melanie.
So just,
told
just
you should have smiled.
Like
they can't find us. You know, they're smiling. So it is facial recognition?
It is facial recognition.
I mean, you can we'll you can definitely recognize a sad face. I mean, it's like, yeah, I've seen that before.
Oh, that's right.
But I can tell with your smile, man, you put so much money into bleaching them teeth. I mean, I can barely look at you this morning. It's just so bright.
Natural, man. Natural. I can't just, hey.
Not Clorox? What? I mean, what is that stuff? Like white strips? Teeth strips? What is that? What is that stuff?
No.
Is it really natural?
I keep telling you, it's natural.
What are those chemicals? You know, when I was in Jersey, oh, that was the plant next door. It wasn't your toothbrush. No. Nah. Actually, you know, you would really be deceived about Jersey if you let people tell you about Jersey. Because you got to go to Jersey. I mean, you'll be shocked. People in Jersey are shocked when they travel two or three blocks away. There's a lot of people in the city. They don't, believe it or not, they will live their whole life, some people, and they will not leave. I mean, you don't really have to. I mean, things that we have within 10 miles, they have within two blocks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, but...
The convenience factor, but New Jersey does get a bad rep. There are some beautiful, beautiful places in New Jersey.
You know, the first thing that I saw, you know, the first time I ever saw New Jersey, you know, I was headed to, driving up the Garden State Parkway. You think, Garden State Parkway? Oh, my goodness. This has got to be the most beautiful thing about the hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That came off of 95, head north. And then I'm coming through, and the first thing I see in Jersey is like this 200 yard high pile of trash. The dump was right on the side of the road. I mean, that was back then, don't they have it now, I would guess. But it was like the Perdido landfill down south, you know, and they had just this where they carried their trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, and birds were swinging, flying around the top. I'm like, this is Jersey? Why would you put that on your main road coming in? You know what I'm saying? You should put something other than that, you know, on there. And then but if you go west, of course, that's just that was then on the Garden State Parkway. And then, of course, I got to go to Rosaryville and all those places out there. Yeah, as I was studying to be a community organizer later. More available on VFN Radio in the future. Yes, I used to be a community organizer. And shocker. But I repented and explained to my pastor at the time was like, we don't need to be doing this. This is not God. This is not God. And so I meant good or God, either one. He says he's good and he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, make it through the, obviously the landfill was first in the Garden State Parkway, but then you see the beautiful area. It's this country dairies out there, dairy farms.
Oh
and,
my goodness.
I mean, you just go for days. It's just beautiful. And the colors and all the weather and, I mean, they have all the seasons out there, and it's just really, really beautiful. I mean,
it is beautiful. West New Jersey, it's gorgeous on the way towards Pennsylvania. I mean, you see some beautiful farmland, and it's just weird. The whole state has its own different feel. South Jersey is a whole lot different from the Central Jersey. Then when you get up to North Jersey, you know, it takes on more of what looks like in New York City. It's where I'm located, but it's New Jersey is a great melting pot. It's the most populated city in most populated state in the country. I don't know if you know that, Pat. Most populated state in the country, based upon the miles and all that type of stuff.
Well, it definitely was populated where we were at, but I loved it because I liked the fact that you can just walk one block, you know, and be eating beautiful Cuban cuisine, and then you can walk another block and you can be eating that pork shoulder. Was that pork shoulder we had? What was that?
Pork roast. Pork shoulder, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't know how you stay so thin.
Our bilingual listeners here today.
What's that?
Bad knee for our bilingual listeners.
Yeah, there. Bad knee. The right?
Not exactly.
Okay. The but yeah.
So you liked it.
Oh, my goodness. It was very good. And I just like the family feel, you know, when you go there. It's just like, It's like it needs to be community and all that. Sad thing is that the communities don't. You got entire cultures within certain blocks, and then you go a couple more blocks, and you got an entire culture, and these cultures don't even cross. So we become, instead of a integrated, e pluribus unum, multicultural, under one culture of America, sometimes it seems like we just let ourselves be divided by our own culture that we brought with us.
Sure.
And it's like, why do we, you know, don't we need to really submit that to the American culture and then somehow integrate it into our day-to-day lives and honor it, but not to leave, not, why would we come to America if we wanted to change America?
Yeah.
So I was saying this, you know, if you wanted to marry me, you liked me when you married me, but now you married me, you want to change me. Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people have married America and they're saying, listen, I married you because I was planning on changing you. I wanted you to become more like me. And it's like, but it was the very thing about America that attracted you.
Yeah.
The free enterprise, e pluribus unum, that everybody has a right. Though we're many, we're one. Out of many, we're one. Mm-hmm. That everybody has a chance to succeed and that you can worship God freely. Nobody's going to oppress you. And no matter what your background is, I mean, you have the same fair shot.
Yeah. And embrace the language. I think a lot of times, especially with the older generation, when they come on over and they come from a different country, they stay real comfortable with the language that they know, the culture that they know. And the first thing they try to do is move into a culture that's very similar to where they came from. I mean, if you look at, like, there's a it's a city here in New Jersey that is the most populated culture of Koreans. And it's actually marketed in South Korea as the place to go in New Jersey. It's near Fort Lee. But it's, you know, you want to get outside of yourself. You want to get outside of your culture and really embrace the fullness of what America has. You don't want a little Italy or a little whatever. I mean, those things, those places are cool and it's awesome. But you want to embrace the fullness of what the country has. And step outside, learn the language. Because if you don't learn the language, you know,
well, why did you marry me? If you didn't, if you didn't want to marry me, you shouldn't have married me.
Yeah.
You know, and part of marrying America is saying, I want to become one in alignment with the United States Constitution, you know, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you got to read it instead of people telling you to do away with it before you read it. It's the very fact that there is a Constitution that allowed us all to be here because everybody's an immigrant.
That's right.
Yeah, everybody came over, you know, at some point in time in our generations. You know, somebody called Dad and I up and they were trying to track our genealogy. I'm not really into tracking genealogy, but you know, you find I was joking. I said, well, anyway, so they call us up and we go over to meet them and they're telling us about, you know, somebody so-and-so back up at so-and-so before this happened. And it was in, you know, Richmond, Virginia. And then y'all came over on the boat from England or something like that. And of course, jokingly, I looked at him. I said, oh my goodness, your family own my family. And it's like, you know, it's terrible when you look at the history of what's going on. You know, I want to repent for the sins of a father. I don't want to revisit them and put them in some museum somewhere. You know, I meant that, you know, Ezekiel lets us know that if we before God, you know, do what's right in our generation, that we do not have to have our father's sins attached to us.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, with that, you know, we need to deal with it. You know, redigging the wells, what just happened up in Birmingham was important to be able to deal with it. But you know what? That we can move on, you know, past that. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that I saw in the context of that was, you know, that you find out good things about your family history and genealogy,
sure.
And you find out, but I found, this is what, you're going to be shocked what I found out about the family. You're going to be totally 100% shocked.
Lay
that
on.
My great, 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 grandfather and his wife that, you know, they had a relationship with God, and every day they were talking to him, and I mean, he just treated them well. They didn't even have to work. They just kind of just tended the garden. He did everything for them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had, they were spoiled. They had everything made for them. And then he told them, he said, listen, listen, all, you can have everything here. Everything here you want. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's, you know, I'm going to reign up here in heaven. You reign down there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll take dominion in heaven. You take dominion on earth. It's all yours. Name the animals, whatever you want to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But just don't eat from that tree over there. Man, if I could have been in that garden. Granddaddy. No, this is good. Don't eat from the garden.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And you know what he did? Let me tell you what my.
What did he do?
Grandfather Adam and Grandma Eve.
Mm.
They chowed down on some apple pie, and he told them not to eat that stuff. And at that point, we had to move out of that garden. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, we've been wandering on the face of the earth until one day, you know, God saw our plight. Mm-hmm. He knew it was my great grandfather's fault. You know,
right.
No, it was all of our fault. And so, because we just kept on doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first met Pat, he had like apple all over his face.
All over it.
Yeah. Chris was smoking the apple. And
that's a reference to yesterday's program. If you missed it, you don't want to miss
it. Well, that's, you know, people joke about that. But when I was in law enforcement, people would use an apple to smoke things. Anyway. And so he saw our plight. And so he said, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make a way for you. And he sent his son, Jesus, to be able to die and pay for all the things that Adam did, Grandpa Adam, and all the one things that happened between now and then. And so with that, you know, it's at that point that I no longer had to live out my father's sins. I no longer had to live out my sins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's that's what happens at the cross. And if you acknowledge Jesus Christ and you're trying to, you know, you said that you dealt with your sin at the cross and you laid it down and you said, God, it was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, forgive me for it. God's forgiven you for it. And if men keep reminding you of it, they're the ones who have to deal with that sin in their heart, because they all have sinned. All of our great-great-grandfathers, we got the same grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Grandma Eve and Grandpa Adam. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if that don't work for you, how about Grandpa Noah? Because everybody dies up him and his eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we all came over on the boat. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, we've got, as Christians, we have to rediscover the awesomeness of the cross of Christ, and that the further you go back and studying your family, you know, and this is what Paul tells Timothy, you know, knock it off. You know, quit tracing endless genealogies and trying to find value in you know, your genealogy. But I can't, you know, if you've been devalued in yourself and your family, I can see where people would want to get some sort of, you know, roots. And if somebody stole me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or somebody, you know, traded me at the hospital and I didn't find out till later on in life. And I think I was just speaking yesterday to somebody that said that he didn't find out his son wasn't his son until he was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so in that, you know, his son may be able, you know, you see where he'd want to locate his father and that type of thing. You know, I understand that kind of stuff. Or the fact that if somebody took me and sold me and took me away from my land, you know, I want to find some connectivity, you know, to that. And I could totally relate to that. And as a matter of fact, I used to think a lot of things. But I used to say, you know, get over it until I got under it. But once I got under it, it's not as easy to get over as you think it is.
All right.
And I also used to say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps until I found out you can go without bootstraps. You don't have any to pull out. I reached down to grab something. There was nothing there, you know.
Nothing there.
But, you know, you hear people say, you know, I want to go back to my motherland. I want to go back to my fatherland. I want to go back, you know. And I say, well, you're America. Why would you want to go there? But there are generations that have come up that have never been there. It's not like somebody who just left their culture, that they were a particular nation, and then they swore an allegiance to the new culture of America. This is somebody that was, their history is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I couldn't connect to it. And the reason why I couldn't connect to it, because I wasn't walking in their shoes. I couldn't see from their perspective.
Sure.
But then, one day, believe it or not, I am watching, I saw a video on probably a YouTube video or something of this talent show in in Britain mm-hmm. called Britain's Got mm-hmm. Talent, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Britain's Got Talent, probably. And then, you know, they're like singing and stuff and using their gifts and whatever their gifts are using. Some of them didn't have a gift, and I don't know what happened. And they were challenged and didn't know it. And but it was pretty interesting. But then they panned the camera through the crowd. They panned the camera. And I looked at the crowd, and I go, oh, those are my peoples. That's my people. They look like me.
Right.
That's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing feeling. See those white pasty dudes there? they look like me. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'd like to go hang out with my peoples for a little bit. Just to kind of see what it feels like. Do I want to leave America? No. Do I want America to leave me? No, I'm trying everything I can to keep from leaving us. And,
right.
But I can relate now because it's like, wow, they kind of look like me. You know, you just sense that. And so when you look back and you see, I can relate to that now. And when somebody says, you know, they're trying to connect to their culture, they're not saying I want to leave America. They just want to, you know, it just feels kind of cool to be around people like you.
Sure.
You know, and kind of people that kind of can relate to your life story. And quite often what you find out is when you get around people who look like you and where you came from, they don't act like you. And there's a reason why your great-great-grandfather left that land.
That's right. But okay, this was still a while. Gotta go.
A lot of that
connectivity happens too over food. It's amazing the unifying effect that food has. You know what I'm saying? You grow up eating a certain thing, and
I should be really unified.
Say that again.
I should be really unified.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know I am.
Oh my goodness! We'll be right back in a moment. Yeah, I think about that. Promise keepers. When Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums, but the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back to seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, and VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25 a month. Not a year, a month.
Hey, $25 a month. Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no. Like $25, trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not going to work. But get this. Did you know that what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get the downloads. You get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the VFN Radio crew, Pat, John, and Chris. Here we are. We were just talking about tracking our genealogy and that it's important. The big thing is not to have pride in where we come from or shame mm-hmm. in where we come from. And, you know, you can track it to a certain point. You can have pride, and then you can track it a little bit further, and you can have shame. Keep tracking, and you'll just turn to the cross because you find out, my goodness. You know, and he tells us this, just to add to that last part we're talking about, that if we don't live right, if we choose to live contrary to God, if we live contrary to God, that we will, in addition to our sins, mm-hmm. we will have our father's sins.
Mm-hmm.
And rest assured, everybody's genealogy, including our own, you know, selves, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we live right, then that's the awesomeness of living right, because God says, you know, despite all these faults, all these mm-hmm. mistakes and everything Pat did, mm-hmm. that I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to put it on my son instead of you. So when America starts saying we don't need God, mm-hmm. they're pulling down the cross. And they're pulling down, you know, the acknowledgement of God and Jesus Christ. Understand what that means is this, you forget about, dreams from my father. Start thinking about this, sins of our fathers, because there is horrific things that have happened in every culture and in American culture. But of all the things that's happened in other countries and other nations, if you rank them side by side, America is still, with all of our faults, all of our mistakes, because the way that the founding fathers heard, obviously, from the Lord to be able to write our documents, and the reason why we're declaring our independence from the king was we could actually make things right. Mm-hmm. We weren't stuck with some sort of constitution that said, that women can't vote forever. Mm-hmm. When they realized, hey, this is not right, not just landowners, and then the people got together, and it's a government by the people and for the people, and they decided, America decided, that this is right, and so they made a decision based on the Constitution and gave all women the right to vote. And these things happen over and over and over again. It's called amendments to the Constitution, and that's what can happen. You don't want to get rid of something that, without that, that would have never happened, because you go to other countries and they're oppressing women, they're beating women, they're stoning women. We played just this week an interview with the grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he was being interviewed by the former French president. They weren't being interviewed; they were discussing on a talk show. Mm-hmm. And he says, it's kind of subjective or something of that nature. You can go back and hear it on the VFN Torch. But so then stoning is something you wouldn't do. And he doesn't come out and say no. And it's like, at what point do you stop stoning the lady for, that's the Sharia law.
For not covering.
Right. And so I heard Phyllis Schaffler. I think it was Phyllis Schaefer. Mm-hmm. We'll be having a lot more things coming out about all this kind of stuff. But, out of all the countries, this is what happened in the 60s and what was said and the Communist Manifesto that was laid out for our country, which is not who we were. We're not a communist country. Then when they laid that out, they just had to start calling our good bad. They had to start saying when people weren't oppressed, they had to start saying they were oppressed. But there was people oppressed. But for example, they started making the mother and the wife feel really bad. Began to create, write books and say things that caused her to feel like, I thought I was happy, but I realized I just need to, it's raising kids stuff and enjoying, my family and being a wife and maybe, working as well, whatever it is, that there needs to be more.
Right.
That wasn't enough, but it was because what they were being told. They were being told by, and we'll be revealing some of this coming up in the future on VFN Radio, the progression. It's literally the Communistic Manifesto, and they've accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish that they laid out in those days. And it started, in the 1930s, where we basically put an atheist over our school system to begin to write books and curriculum. And they turned the Declaration of Independence into an economic issue versus all the other reasons why we left Great Britain. And everything, and what's crazy is everything could have been great for our lives, but we started believing the press. And all of a sudden we start thinking, well, it's not that good. Maybe it's better somewhere else. But now I'm seeing people, say very openly. I'm seeing, women are trying to, they're doing so many things. It's amazing what a married working mother does in a day. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. And what I've heard recently, some ladies were talking and, some pretty prominent ladies, they said, we were trying to have it all. We were trying to do it all, trying to be, the CEO and trying to be the mother and the wife and all that, and several relationships later and things got all over the place. They found out we couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's an unrealistic expectation of any human being to have that many hats on, And so now you see a tide of people rediscovering where we were originally before the enemy started lying to us and telling us where we were was wrong, and there had to be something better out there, you know. And we, because of that, you know, we have like over 50% divorce rate. Mm-hmm. We have over 7% of all the children in Idaho, it was surveyed, that they are tried or wanted to commit suicide. Wow. I have all these stats I'll be bringing out really soon. And the whole purpose of communism, the whole purpose of it, is to dethrone God from our minds and from our heart. You know, that was the goal of, you know, Karl Marx is what he said. I want to dethrone God, you know, and it's turning to government and man instead of God. And but yet, you know, providing for needs is not wrong. And so somehow we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to humbly depend on God and do what's right before him in hopes that he would, you know, allow us to maintain or keep a country called America.
Sure.
And that's why we're here. That's why the reason why we're talking to you right now and why we're on VFN radio and we have VFN TV every single day and 24 hours a day is because we wanted to begin a conversation that God could take over us and we could begin to listen to what he's saying. And then we could begin to change our minds because we've been so inundated by so many wrong things. And, you know, one of the things that the Communist Manifesto was, you need to take over media. Well, media is totally taken over. I mean, everything degrading to the family, everything degrading to the man, everything degrading to a father, everything degrading to a mother's role.
Sure.
Everything that's supposed to be good about children or law or all this, that it's just everything. It's like everything. I mean, the gender dysphoria and all the different things taking place. It's like, is there any program that's being played through media that is encouraging in the ways of God? And the thing is that it's intentional. It's not accidental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This whole thing's intentional because you have to first take a moral people, and you have to do away with their morals because freedom only exists in a moral culture. If you if you remove, all of a sudden there's no morals anymore, you know, and nobody's morally perfect. But at the cross, you know, through repentance, God forgives us for immoral behavior. We acknowledge it. But then he empowers us to walk morally before him in a way that we never would before. And when we take that humble attitude towards God, God may allow us to be able to keep the freedom, but freedom only exists. And I believe it was John Adams, our second president of the United States, says that freedom can only exist for moral people. Mm-hmm. So they knew, you know, they knew in the Communist Manifesto, they knew that they had to begin to undermine our moral culture. They had to undermine our education, begin to start with the kids, you know. This is a child shall lead them. You know, what it is you, if you train a child up in the wrong way, you know, then they'll be the future leaders and the CEOs and future teachers and all of that. And isn't it interesting, too, that most of our difficulties happening on university campuses across the nation, well, you know, the 60s culture of you know, I want to blow the government up. The government's wrong. Right. They, you know, I got so many things I'm going to be sharing on all of that. But understand, we're not going to be able to walk out of this in ignorance. We're going to have to know how we got here.
Sure.
And you cannot, you know, lay down with snakes and act shocked that you got bit.
That's right.
You know, and you can't say I want God and Satan both. You can't say I want darkness and light both. You know, you have to make up your mind. And then the thing is, the mindset that's been changed is that the enemy's convinced a lot of God's people that it's not a winning proposition to choose 100% light. You know, you hear people say, oh, well, there's no, you know, I wouldn't have fun. And I was like, is hell going to be fun? You know, is and if you look long enough, because it's only pleasures of sin for a day, it doesn't last. For a season, I went and, you know, worked in law enforcement and go walk through the jails. You see every age, every gender, everybody that runs after sin, it all ends up running after them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard somebody say, you said you're trying to scare You're trying to scare them, scare hell into them. It's like, no, I'm trying to scare hell out of them. There are going to be things and people in hell that you have never, ever seen in your life before. And you're going to be with them.
I like
unless
what,
you repent. You got to get real about it. You got to get real.
You know, if somebody teaches the hell out of you or scares the hell out of you, rejoice because hell's out of you, right?
Because the hell is out.
The hell is out. And hell would be, you know, dark ways and ways that the enemy would want us to go other than God. But the lie that the enemy sold over these years, these atheists who sold the few handful, it just takes 10% of a people to be moving in one direction to change the entire nation. Most people, you have people that, you know, make things happen. Some people think about making things happen, but most people, I'm telling you, most people just wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening right now is they've pushed and pushed and tried to prod to get Americans to go in the streets to be fighting each other and be divided. And they've tried to pit everybody against everybody. Any division is amazing. I've never seen so many, you know, concepts. Maybe this will work. Maybe that'll work. Mm. Even to the point today, Eric Holder has been revealed that our attorney general in the report, they were intentionally selling guns to the Mexican drug lords. It's on the news today. It just came out. The report just came out.
Wow.
So that they would come into America and create violence so they could create new gun laws to control the guns in America.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, at what point do you impeach somebody when they're violating their own citizens are dying because they're trying to impede the Constitution, you know, and, you know, make sure that when you're listening to this, you're hearing this, go to the VFN Torch. If you're listening on the Torch right now to this highlight, look at the related articles, because there's going to be one there that says, you know, I swear about an oath. Everybody in the from the president to the Senate to the Congress to your governor to your military personnel to brand new citizens that are coming into the country, we all swear an allegiance. We swear an allegiance to no other government.
Right.
You know, to no other potentates and no other princes. And we just break all those. And we say that we swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from enemies foreign, which means people, that means, because, you know, terminologies have changed so much today, which means people that are not in America.
Right.
From enemies foreign and domestic. Domestic means this, then that when there could be enemies in America. Mm-hmm. In your state, in your county, in your city, that are against the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And Constitution, the very word Constitution means that's what we're made up of. It's like you know your body, your constitution of your body. What are you made up as a person? Well, America is made up of the United States Constitution. Everything's derived from that Constitution that says this is how people will be treated. You know, all of our rights come from God. We have a right to pursue, everybody has a right to pursue happiness, but not a right to happiness, you know, and that, you know, these, it's just, and so, you know, that you have a right to worship God, the government can make no laws concerning that. Right now, so many constitutional rights are being violated. And of course, you can listen to Josiah, you know, listen to Josiah on VFN TV, go to VFN TV now, and you can watch it at VFNTV.com. And, you know, sometimes God just says, that's it. You know, that's it. I mean, he did, you know, when he created man and, you know, Methuselah's grandson's name was Noah. And, you know, men just kept on having evil on their mind all the time. Evil was on the heart all the time. And he says, listen, the Spirit of God is not going to always contend with mortal men. He's just a mortal man. And he cut men's years down from like 700 to 900 years to 120 years.
Right.
And then he's going to destroy everybody except for Noah at that point.
Right.
You know, people say, well, that doesn't happen. Well, keep on reading.
That's true.
You know, read all the way to Revelation and realize that we can't keep on contending with God and think it's a blessing. And, I have to be honest with you that it wasn't until we started losing it did I start realizing it. Mm-hmm. And there was so much mire in America, religious mud, if you would, or just a mire. That you just couldn't, you know, you just had to shake yourself continually to keep the religion off of you long enough to have a relationship with God, to hear what God was saying. You know, Pharisees and Sadducees' mindset, religious mindset is going like, let's just keep, you know, beating the drum and rowing the boat. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, why? You know, we're not doing what God says do. And
right.
And but, you know, when you know better, you do better. And we didn't just get here. As you hear when we talk about the virtual stadium, this has been a progression to get to this point.
Right.
And what we say is what we actually know to be true. And it's not some other man's experience. This is our experience. And it's a shocker. But you know what? We've been shocked so many times. Yeah. It's just like, okay, all right, pick your leg up and let's move on. Mm-hmm. That, okay, fine. We find out. That's all God wants us to do is just find out and realize that we've been wrong.
Right.
And begin to do right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. What's so important is that, you know, we just got to ask ourselves this question, you know, before we even begin this process, because it's so amazing. Before you even open your mouth, you know, today's believer, Christian, they're ready to argue before you even open your mouth. You haven't even opened your mouth yet, and they're preparing to argue with you.
Right.
And it's like, first let me... say what I was going to say.
Loud and wrong.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Bad
right.
combination. I'm saying bad combination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. And so, you know, you first have to ask yourself this. You need to ask yourself this. And I encourage you before you talk to anybody about truth, ask them this. There's no sense discussing truth with somebody who is, what part don't you understand? I'm not going to do that. You know, and a religious mindset is this. I've convinced myself that God says it's okay for me to walk in disobedience. So don't mess that up.
Right.
But so he tells us, you know, we need to first ask yourself this question before you argue. If what I read or hear or what I'm about to discuss tells me that God wants me to acknowledge what I'm doing is wrong and totally do something totally different than what I'm doing, would I stop and change with a willing heart? Believe it or not, that's a legitimate question. It's a shocker to people because they got to pause and think. And if they're honest, you know, if they answer no, just relax, move on. They just said no to Jesus. Move on. If they say yes with a reluctant, yes, you know, they're preparing to tell you why they're not. But think about this. If that's true, then they've pre-decided that they want God to line up with them, not them line up with him. They're wanting to make and mold their own God instead of receiving God for who he is. I mean, you think about it. That's what happens, right? That's exactly how a nation falls, and that's what goes on. And so in that, an argument is a different viewpoint. It's just an argument. It's not necessarily raising your voice. We talked about personalities the other day. I don't know. What's the name of that segment of personalities? You need to hear that.
Uniquely you.
We're all made differently, which means we all argue differently.
Mm-hmm.
But an argument is just a different viewpoint, which means you could have two ladies sitting in a coffee shop, and they're both having their Frappo Capo Nappuccinos, mocha flavors, and one lady with her little pinky sticking out, and says, you know, well, I think it's, you know, I think it's left. And the other lady goes, takes a little sip of her coffee, you know, and sticks her little pinky out. And she says, well, you know, I was really thinking it's kind of not really left. It's kind of, that's an aggressive argument. Now, right. Well, it could be right or wrong, but it's an argument. You know, and some people argue in a way that people think that it can't be an argument because nobody's raising their voices.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you right now. There is a lot, an argument is just a different viewpoint. It's a total, it's just a different viewpoint. It's all it is. It's not somebody yelling. It's not somebody breaking dishes. It's not somebody, you know, taking off in some car somewhere or whatever you would consider. You know, that's an argument, you know. And you look at news today, you know, the sold out news, the only thing they call an argument is something that looks aggressive like that.
Sure.
But the reality is the worst arguments are like the judo type arguments where they go with you a little bit and then they throw you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many arguments. There's so many different viewpoints that are being cast out before people right now. And Christians are not standing up with the right viewpoint. And they're just letting that other viewpoint just come across the land and come across the God's people and come across pulpits. And it's like, dude, if he or she is lying to you, I don't care how high their pulpit is, tell them that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
tell, if you know that they're lying, if you know that's not true, don't buy into the organization and deny the organism. Listen, if it's a lie, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God tells us to do. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, and this is what we wrestle with, is these lies. It's the fiery darts of the enemy, different mindsets, different viewpoints other than God's viewpoints. And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 tells us, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. So it's not like we're talking physical war or that type of thing. It's just different viewpoints. He says, on the contrary, that our weapons have divine power to the demolishing of a stronghold. Mm-hmm. And a stronghold is it's a mindset. It's what you think about something. That it can be a good stronghold, it can be a bad stronghold. Now how it's revealed whether it's a bad or a wrong stronghold is when you get into God's word and God says, wrong mindset. You know, right. That's not the way you do marriage. That's not the way you do finance. That's not the way you raise children. That's, you know, you find, okay, I see. I was living by a mindset that's different than what God's mindset. So I realized that if I start contending, if I hang on to this wrong mindset and say, I'm going to go this way, then I'm arguing with God. It's an argument. It's a different viewpoint. Or I could say, like the very question that somebody asked me, am I willing to change my ways if God says my ways are wrong? And I say, in a heartbeat, that's all I'm trying to do. Because a lot of times we could be doing, we're doing our best to serve God that we love, but we just didn't know it was wrong. And as soon as we find out it's wrong, we change our ways. That's all God wants. And he knows. He knows whether we knew it was wrong or not.
Mm-hmm.
And those are beautiful people. It's called the ability to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he says, so we have divine power to the demolishing, which means annihilating and destroying these wrong ways of thinking, which is strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, you know, some people are serving 5 years in prison. Some people are serving a sentence that's 10 years. Some people are serving a sentence that's 20 years. But many, many people who are believers are serving sentences. I am not worth anything for 5 years now, and they're planning to serve 10 more years. I cannot do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll serve 5 years on that. I will never have a financial breakthrough. 20-year sentence on that. My marriage will never be good. 5-year sentence on that. You know, then these all these wrong different sentences versus the sentence what God says. He says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loose in heaven. I got the keys, bro, of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is within me. If I want the kingdom of God to be around me, I'll loose it from inside of me. And if I want you to have the kingdom as well, I will preach the kingdom to you and give you an opportunity. I am walking on top of my circumstances. My circumstances are not walking on top of me. And the sentences that we're serving, and a lot of people are serving. You hear them over again. You say, oh, they're serving 10 years on that. It's been 10 years now. I've been hearing that sentence come out of their mouth.
That's right.
You know, it's like, you're trying to put me in that sentence. I don't want that sentence. You know,
can we get past the sentence?
Can we get past that sentence? Right. You know, I am not serving time with you, but let me know when you get out or get some free time and we'll visit.
And I don't even want to visit you while you're serving.
that's exactly it. You know, I told you you'd be free. You're free, you know, but you have to demolish it through God. You got to find out what God's viewpoint is in that. Mm-hmm. And he says, in verse 5, he says, so we demolish arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So we can demolish that argument that's against what God says about us and about our nation and how we should live as his people. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Listen, this Communist Manifesto, their ultimate goal is to their war is not with men. Their war is not with liberal or conservative parties. Their war is not with, and it's a world war, it's not with America. It's their war is against God. That's the war. They're fighting against God. They don't know it. They may know it or not know it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming against God's strongholds, right way of thinking, and the way God says that his creation should be. And so we can demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. But listen, if you're not a disciple, if you haven't even been in the word, and you're not even abiding with God, reading his word, you don't even know what a lie is. Mm. When somebody's telling you need to read your Bible religiously, you know, I don't blame you for not reading, but somebody's telling you, listen, you might be living some lies and not know it, and it's going to cost you eternity if you don't find out that you need to cast down this argument that you've been living under and live free from it. You know, we can demolish every argument, every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what the truth does, when we know the truth, it's light. It lets us know what's wrong in our life and what's right in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn to the cross and say, Lord, please remove this thing from my life. I don't want this thing in my life. And God empowers us. He forgives us and he sets us free from it. Then he says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. People say, you know, I just tried, you know, and I just like, you know, you ain't tried nothing. You mm-hmm. didn't try nothing. Did you change your friends? Did you change your job? Did you change where you live at?
Mm-hmm.
Did you start actually abiding with God and reading his word? Did you start fellowshipping with believers who are going in a direction that you knew God was calling you to be in? Or did you stay with a crowd that actually was still going in the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you really doing? I mean, because we're supposed to take those thoughts and force them. Are you still watching junk on TV and wondering why your mind is junk? Mm-hmm. You know, and you spend 5 minutes in the word, but you spend, you know, 6 hours on the broadcast media, which has been overtaken with the agenda.
Catch a clue, right?
Catch a clue. And it just matters what you think. It matters what's going on. And mm-hmm. we can demolish those things. And then he tells us, he says, when we force it to be in compliance, make it obedient to Christ. And the carnal mind will never submit to the ways of God. There's always going to be a contention there. So you know what? It takes the power of God to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it. And he says, and once we do this, he said, we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Don't let anybody tell you that grace is a permission to sin, because genuine grace received from God is accompanied by genuine holiness, or a desire to be holy, which means separating ourselves from that which separates us from God. Be strong. Be courageous. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't let these arguments overrule our nation, overrule your church, or overrule your family, your marriage, or your life. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, God bless you. Wonderful time on our first hour. Catch us in the extra hour in just a few moments. For those that are leaving us, don't forget you can hear the second hour on your application at VFNTV.com. And those who join us, we'll see you on the other side.